Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we have a conversation with Dutch Ghanaian singer-songwriter Nana Ajoa. But first, it's time for another round of Buried Treasures. We love doing this particular feature as often as possible, Jim. It's been a great year for music. We can't keep up with all of it in terms of getting regular reviews in, but these Buried Treasure shows allow us to dig back a few weeks, months, and find stuff that we have not been able to talk about on the show, but feel deserves wider attention.
Two of the treasures I'm going to offer up this week, Greg, come from people that one might say, well, Jim, you know these people. Is that ethically sound? And the first one I'm thinking of is Joe Wong. Now, Joe has been on the show as a guest talking about drums. He is the host of a fantastic podcast called The Trap Set. He had me on his show talking about being a drummer and a writer. You know, I'm in the company of like Phil Collins chatting drums with Joe Wong. And Joe has just put out a fantastic debut album called Night Creatures, N-I-T-E Creatures, on Decca Records, no less. You know, Joe is not only a drummer, he's a multi-instrumentalist, and he's got a really effective voice as well. This album was co-produced by another artist we are hugely fond of, Mary Timoney of X-Hex and Helium and Wild Flag, and it's got this wonderful orchestral pop, psychedelic folk sensibility. You know, in some ways, very much late 60s. You know, think of Pink Floyd, Incredible String Band, Odyssey and Oracle era Zombies. But very fresh and relevant. It's kind of timeless. It's not dated in any way. And, you know, just to prove that a million times hipper than us, Joe Wong, he got Fred Armisen to film his video. And he's got people playing on this record, backing him up, like Stephen Drozd of the Flaming Lips and Anna Warrenker, formerly of That Dog.
Wow, right? Not a bad backing band.
Holy I know. You know, you got to not only be a great interviewer, but a great musician to get that kind of help. Here is the title track of Joe Wong's Night Creatures on Sound Opinions.
Feelings fall away, thoughts collide like planes beneath the earth, a secondary birth, and you're old and gray. Words collide like planes beneath the stone, with nothing left to own. Relax your mind, the night creatures wander past you, undone what you've become. The night creatures
Joe Wong, Night Creatures, and the whole album is that good, Greg.
No apologies needed, Jim. That's an awesome. I love that. As soon as I heard like the first few notes, I'm going, man, I just want to swim in this thing. And, you know, what I loved about it is I didn't see a video or anything. I'm just imagining the sounds in my head and what was making them, and I couldn't identify, like, oh, that's that kind of an instrument making that sound. It's more like this collage-like feel to it, and I thought it was just mesmerizing.
You know, for the 30 people to whom this means anything, I would say this album is as good as that famous Cardinal album.
Oh, yeah.
At the height of orc pop.
That's a good analogy. And I would use similar type of language to describe the record I want to play first, from Bartice Strange. Live Forever is his first album, just came out. This is a guy who grew up in Oklahoma. In fact, the track I'm going to play is called Mustang, named after the town in Oklahoma in which he grew up. Understand, this is a young man of African-American origin who grew up in a town which is 85% white. So he, you know, he felt like a little bit of an outsider. And here he is, trained in opera, played in a hardcore band. And his debut EP, which came out earlier this year, included 5 covers from The National. So you tell me that that fits in with any particular niche you want to put him in. You cannot put this guy in a basket and say, oh, he belongs here. He is definitely working outside the margins of the rules or the genres or whatever you want, whatever category you want to put him in. And the record reflects that broad genre free approach to music. This track, I think, you know, just gives you a taste of what's in store, but this is a brilliant, brilliant record. An artist with an outstanding voice, as you can tell from the opera training, but it doesn't interfere with the fact that this is just a musically adventurous album. It's Live Forever is the album. Here's a song called Mustang from Bartice Strange on Sound Opinions. Strange Mustang from Live Forever on Sound Opinions, my first buried treasure of the day.
You know, you indicated hearing a little similarity with Joe Wong, and I think the common ground is that Elephant Six orchestral pop experimentation that came out of another nowhere town, Ruston, Louisiana, in the early 90s.
Right, right, right.
You know, I'm hearing a little of that. All right, so I said two picks of mine are bands that I know. I think that the statute of limitations has probably run out on the fact that I played on Speed the Plow's debut album, Drums and Percussion, in 1989. That's 31 years, and there have been 6 albums since, and I thought that... okay, I've never talked about them on Sound Opinions because, like, you know, I'm on this ancient album. But, you know, they have never stopped making music. Speed the Plow were sort of in the orbit of the Feelies, the great New Jersey art punk band. And they'd originally been part of a band called The Tripes, which had a couple of Feelies in them. And on this song, Open Door, John and Tony Baumgartner, the husband and wife couple at the heart of Speed the Plow, are playing with Brenda Sauter of the Feelies, as well as Rich Barnes. Yeah, you know, the Feelies. Everybody in the Feelies is in 20 bands, right? And they're all good all the time. I could do 6 months of Sound Opinions just on Feelies offshoots. What's wonderful about this song is... obviously, John and Tony as a couple are in each other's bubble. And that attic in Haledon, where they record, you know, I can just picture them there making this beautiful music that is inspired, John said, by the by the shutdown. They were in their comfort zone and they were trying to find a way out of that attic when literally they really couldn't get out of that attic. This is a song of hope and beauty. Just a wonderful track. They've been releasing one track a month for as long as the shutdown and the quarantine and the COVID era is going to continue. Hopefully it'll just add up to an album. Might be a triple at the way things are going. But making music in difficult times. Speed the Plow, Open Door.
Say a prayer for the people going underground. Say a prayer for all the lives in the lost and found. Say a prayer for all the times you said a prayer. Say a prayer until we all come up. Shed a tear just because you can cry. You can have it all without even trying.
Speed the Plow, Open Door. Man, I love that band.
You know, I got two questions for you. Is there a killer on the road? Is his brain squirming like a toad, Jim?
You are not comparing Speed the Plow to The Doors, are you?
Structure of Riders on the Storm. It's right there. I read about this track. I go, where have I heard those chords before?
Oh.
It's Riders on the Storm. But I got to say, Brendan Sauter's voice really adds a lot to the song. That's when I started, like, okay, I'm okay with this.
The combination of Tony and Brenda are just, it's a beautiful vocal thing.
Well, vocals. I cannot say enough about the vocals from this next band that I want to play, Ohmme. O-H-M-M-E. They put out a terrific record earlier this year, their third studio album. The two principals in the band are named Seema Cunningham and Macy Stewart. They are mainstays of the Chicago scene. They have played with numerous artists over the years. They are much in demand here. And Ohmme is just a wonderful band that keeps getting better with each record, more adventurous with each record. What I want to play is a single they have put out in recent weeks that, to me, highlights a lot of what makes them great. This song, to me, sounds reckless. It's got this wild, almost, like, what's the structure here? The arrangement is all over the place, and then but at the same time, it keeps building excitement. I love the way they channel the dynamics and build to this sort of feverish pitch. And, you know, it's done in like 3 minutes and 15 seconds. And I can't believe they crammed all this excitement into that space, because it's not like a, you know, conventional, you know, punk rave up. It's sort of almost proggy, but not in a pretentious kind of way. It's just very well structured. And those voices are at the heart of it. The way they play their guitars is at the heart of it. It sounds like it's going to explode in the best possible way. It's a band called Ohmme, O-H-M-M-E, once again, with a track called Mind on Sound Opinions.
Welcome to the fun. Mine.
That is Ohm with a single called Mine. I doing them as a buried treasure now, and I did them as a buried treasure a few years ago. And I'm tired of having to call them a buried treasure because I just think they're a great band. They should be more than buried. They unbury them.
I'm with you on Ohm, though. To me, they evoke that early 80s UK post-punk spirit of freedom, mm-hmm. where genre, boundaries, yeah. structure, instrumentation, everything's up for grabs. As long as you've got something to say, we will listen. Greg, as our listeners know, the two of us don't know everything. We never claim to. And we love hearing from colleagues to find out what they're listening to, their buried treasures. Let us welcome our guest today, author, music journalist, radio host, friend of ours, friend of Sound Opinions, Lori Majewski. Lori, welcome to Sound Opinions.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back, guys. I love Sound Opinions.
Give us buried treasure number one. You're going to give us two picks.
Okay. The first band that I'm going to mention is a band that if we ever get out of this COVID situation, I want to see live. You've heard of the Slits. You've heard of the Struts. Now I'm bringing you the Snuts.
Yeah, I love that name. S-N-U-T-S.
We have been absolutely obsessed with the Snuts on Feedback, which is my morning show over on Volume. And they've had quite a few singles out in 2020 already. One is called Elephants. One is called Fat Boy Slim. But their latest is called Always. And I think that's the one that we're going to let Sound Opinions listeners check out right now.
Came to the dark conclusion that now just be my time. I save you all that sunlight till the world is mine. And I always want you. And I'm breaking it down, singing it loud of me. I'm still falling, flying, still calling on you, telling me how. Cause I can't explain.
Cool. I am digging Always by the Snuts. Lori, I have to say, now I hear a little Duran Duran in there, and you, as the world's biggest Duran Duran fan, this is not a bad thing at all. You know, you give me a little Feelies or a little Eno, and I'm all over it.
I'm thrown by the Duran Duran comparison on today, Simon Le Bon's 62nd birthday, so yes, I am. I am the biggest Duran Duran fan.
I was thinking in the sense that the rhythm is rock, but it's also dance, and it's super propulsive.
Yes, it is definitely super propulsive. That's why I really want to see them live. And I think you get a lot of these young up-and-coming bands, and there's two people in them because they can have a bassist, and then they have a vocalist, and then they all, like, press a button. But this is a true band.
Yeah, right? No, it does. You get the sense that this would be a great band to see in a club.
Yeah, when people say rock is dead, I'm like, well, you've got the Struts and now you've got the Snuts, so shut up.
And there's a great soul influence in there too. I just think that, you know, the merger of that sort of propulsive rhythm with that soul vocal on top, that's a killer combo for me.
Well, we're going to hear another pick from Lori Majewski in a minute, but if you've got an album we need to hear, tell us on Facebook or Twitter, or email us a voice memo to interact@soundopinions.org. After a break, Greg and I'll dig up some more buried treasures. That's coming up on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and we're going through some of our favorite records that haven't gotten as much attention as they should. Let's hear another pick from our guest, author and radio host Lori Majewski. Lori, what do you got for us next?
Okay, well, next up, I've got Arlo Parks. And unlike the name would suggest, Arlo is a 20-year-old British female. That's not her real name. I think her real name is Anise, like Anise Nin. But she is a 20-year-old British singer-songwriter. She's a poet as well. And you hear that in the music. She hails from South London. And she's been releasing music on her own for a couple of years now, but 2020 is really her year. This is amazing. Just today, I heard that she was named the BBC Introducing Artist of the Year. BBC Introducing, it's all the new hot up-and-comers. And I think people who've won over the years, Adele, Sam Smith, Keane, people who were runner-ups include Lady Gaga and Rag & Bone Man. So when you hear that, I was like, okay, I think I picked a good one in Arlo Parks. Already at 20, I feel like she could be a voice for her age group. She released a song a few years ago called Super Sad Generation that kind of makes fun of like the reality show LA stereotype. She had so many things planned for this year that she wasn't able to do because, yes, COVID. But now with this BBC Introducing under her belt and a brand new single that I think she's really going to knock this one out of the park. It's called Green Eyes.
Summer in my eyelids, eating rice and beans, paying Kaya's bedroom. Think she wanted green, but the weather puts you on my mind. Dragon fruit and peaches in wine, kissing circles underneath your eyes. Of course I know why we lasted 2 months. Couldn't all hold my hand in public. Felt their eyes judging our love and baying for blood. I could never blame you, darling.
Green Eyes by Arlo Parks. I fell in love with this instantly, Lori Majewski. You know, it's that kind of neo-soul thing, but for 2020, and a little Sade in her vocal, I thought, which is great. You know, that quiet, simmering sensuality.
Yes, I think the word you're looking for, Jim, is sultry.
Sultry, yes.
Right, and how can you be sultry at 20? I mean, the thing that she has, that old, you want to say old neo-soul, maybe, she... just, wow, I just fell in love with her the first time I heard her. She had a song called Cola that was out a few years ago. But what's so nice, and she was only 17 then, what's so nice is I hear the progress. So at 20, if she sounds like this, what is she going to sound like in a few years?
Well, you know, in 2020, Lori, we are all aging at 20 times the normal speed. Well, Lori Majewski, thank you so much for coming on Sound Opinions. It's always a pleasure to reconnect with you. I wish I was up with you in the Catskills. Oh. Are you going to go make a fire now?
Yes, I actually am, and we're getting snow already this weekend.
Yeah.
We had some.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
But you gotta trust how you feel inside.
Thanks again to our guest, Lori Majewski, who contributed some great buried treasures. Let's get back to our picks, Jim. What's next for us?
Greg, I am going to a drummer who has long been one of my favorites. I bet you don't even recognize the name. I wrote about her for Modern Drummer, though, way back in the day. Hillary Sidney.
You know, I recognize the name, and this band I also recognize. Weren't they around like in the early 2000s?
Yes. Here is the story. Hillary Sidney was a pioneering member of the Elephant Six collective of orchestral pop bands that included, you know, Nutrimilk Hotel, Olivia Tremor Control, and her group, Apples in Stereo. You know, it was a boys' club, she has said, of that scene, but she asserted herself strongly, and she was such a great drummer and an effervescent psychedelic pop songwriter. When she left Apples in stereo, she joined a group or started a group called the High Watermarks. And it has now been 13 years since she put out a new album. She is living in Norway now with a new husband and raising her family and never stopped songwriting ever since. And now we have this new set coming from Hillary Sidney and the High Watermarks. It is just perfect, sparkling power pop with that psychedelic tinge that never gets old. Is this 1967? Is this 2001? Is this any space in between? It is all of the above, and it is very much of the moment. The song I'm going to play is called Can You. The album is coming out shortly, Greg. Ecstasy Rhymes on Minty Fresh Records out of Chicago. But the song I'm going to play is already out there streaming. It's called Can You with the question mark by the High Watermarks on Sound Opinions. By the High Watermarks, Hillary Sidney, going strong.
Yeah,
mom,
that,
drummer, legend.
That hits a sweet spot for me. You know, as I said, I recalled that they'd put out some music earlier that I'd really, really liked, and I'd sort of lost track of them and realized, oh, wow, here's a new song, and it sounds great. You know what they reminded me a little bit of when I listened to this track? I'm thinking Vivian Girls. That sort of, you know, garagey, little fuzzy, you know, with
a little
the,
fuzzy,
with
but,
the,
but really pop smart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hooks galore. And I love that sound. Next up, Jim, I want to play an artist named Yoti. That's an alter ego. She has made a few albums under the Yoti moniker, but her real name is Georgia Ann Muldrow, a soul jazz singer, producer, multi-instrumentalist from Los Angeles, who has been releasing music since 2006. I am a huge fan of just about everything she's put out. These Yoti albums have been fabulous, too. It allows her to sort of indulge another side of her musical personality. Muldrow is coming to this record, Mama, You Can Bet! Exclamation point, from a perspective of somebody who's speaking directly to the Black Lives Matter movement, but, you know, from a perspective of a jazz artist. So, in other words, the songs don't necessarily present themselves in an explicit manner, but it's more about atmosphere, mood, texture. And one of the songs that I think got most spot on in terms of her feelings about this was her remake of a Charles Mingus song that I'm going to play, Fables of Phoebus, the 1959 Charles Mingus song slash commentary against the Arkansas governor, Orville Faubus, who was, in 1957, sent out the National Guard to prevent the racial integration of that Little Rock Central High School by 9 black kids. So Mingus came up with this incredible song, naming names, and, you know, the power of that moment in the civil rights movement can't be overstated. She's returning to that vibe on this song, Phoebus Fu G-Mix. And what she's done is she's pumped up that bass line. In her Yoti incarnation, this artist, Muldrow, plays most of the instruments. And I'm assuming she's playing the bass line on this particular track and most of the instruments. And it's a powerhouse of a song. The social commentary packaged inside this sonic package that addresses exactly what she's talking about in this record. It is Yoti with a track called Phoebus Fu G-Mix from Mama, You Can Bet on Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
That is Yoti with Fabus Fu G Mix. Yoti spelled J-Y-O-T-I.
You know what I was tripping on, Greg? It sounds as if Yoti is doing a little bit of vinyl scratching, or it's a sample of such, that sounds just like a yipping dog. And then right before the chorus comes in, we get a full-throated bark.
Yeah.
I like the playfulness of that, and I was entranced by that track. You mentioned Yoti's social commentary. The last buried treasure I'm going to offer up for this show is from a group, a female quartet from South London called Goat Girl. I had missed this album when it came out, I guess because I haven't gone to South by Southwest the last couple of years, because the debut album came out in 2018 from Goat Girl on the great Rough Trade Records label. And now they have a second album that is coming early in 2021, On All Fours is the name of it. But this track, Sad Cowboy, is a single that is already out there. Really smart lyrics from a feminist, humanitarian, environmentalist perspective, and an odd mix of sounds. We were talking with Ohm about that period in England in 1980 or 82, where all the genre lines were blurred and there was this wild experimentation. Well, Goat Girl has got like these sci-fi synthesizers and these weird jazzy chords, old school drum machines that really don't sound like drums or don't even sound like modern drum machines, and these really diverse vocal styles as they trade off between these different women in the group. Sad Cowboy, I think, is a song about losing your grip on reality. At least that's what Goat Girl's Clotty Cream, that's the stage name she uses, has said. And how often that can happen. Well, yeah, sure, Clotty, especially in 2020. We are all losing our grip on reality. Goat Girl, Sad Cowboy on Sound Opinions. Goat Girl, Sad Cowboy. That's like also the greatest band name I've heard in a long time.
I like the band name. You know what drew me into that track was I was trying to, again, make out the sound. What is making that sound? I settled on a guitar, but it maybe isn't. But there's sort of this little counterpoint texture in there. It's almost like a scratchy guitar sound.
There's all these weird textures going on in their music. You got to go back and check out that debut album, and we got to gear up for the new one in January.
That sounds good to me. Last track for me is by an old favorite of the blog crowd. Remember when they had blogs and people used to write about music on them?
Ah, yeah, I've heard. What is it now? TikTok or something?
That's You know, Annie is an artist out of Norway. That Anne Strand is her name. She's been making music since 1999. Back when the blogosphere was a thing, there was an album that she put out called Animal. In 2004.
So Annie put out Annie Mall.
Annie Mall, okay, yes. All right. And it was a big deal. And people wrote about it and loved it. But she hasn't put out anything that I know of for about a decade. It, like, disappeared. Look, where'd she go? Well, here she is back again with a record called Dark Hearts. And the track I want to play is called American Cars, which to me sort of gets at the aesthetic behind this record. If you liked Angelo Badalamenti's production for Julie Cruz and the Twin Peaks soundtrack, you're going to get some of that vibe here. You know, Vangelis doing the Blade Runner soundtrack. Again, that sort of vibe is permeating this record. And on top of that, you got these cool hooks with this deadpan vocalist on top. I'm a sucker for that sound. This is Annie with American Cars on Sound Opinions.
White leather seat.
Annie, American Cars, the new album is called Dark Hearts, her first in a decade. It's a good one.
You were batting 1,000 for me. That's a thing, right?
Did you say? That's a good one, yeah.
Except this single I didn't like, Greg. Those breathy vocals. Now, I do love Julie Cruz, and I wasn't hearing that as I was listening to this track. To me, it was on the wrong side of breathy. With Julie, there was sex and menace and desperation, like many, many emotions at once. And with Annie, it was just breathy.
I don't know. I was thinking kind of Roxy Music-ish, kind of arch, very, very almost satirical about the whole concept of cars and, driving them as like sexy and cool. Like she's almost like looking askance at that whole tradition.
All right. Well, if you've got an album that's flying under the radar that everyone should hear, let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Coming up, a conversation with singer-songwriter Nana Ojoa. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. He's Greg Kot. And this week we are sharing some of our favorite new buried treasures. Music that is flying beneath the mainstream radar that we think you need to hear. Now we're going to chat with an artist we talked about on a past Buried Treasures episode, Nana Ojoa.
That's right, Jim. I featured Nana's music as a buried treasure earlier this year, and she just released her debut album, Big Dreaming Ants. We wanted to talk with her about her new record, her path to making music, and a whole lot more. Joining us today from her native Netherlands, Nana Ojoa. Welcome, Nana.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's start with your background. Growing up, Dutch mom and a Ghanaian father, and you're going to the Jazz Academy. It seemed like you were following one path that has now led to a very different one.
That's true. It's always funny to look back and see how things went. And now where I am right now feels like the place I should be. But yeah, I've been some places that doesn't necessarily normally lead up to this. I don't know.
Well, and your mom had actually played in a high life band, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she played when she was young. And I think she was like 16, 17 when she bought her first bass. And she played in this high life band and actually quit because she, two reasons. She got pregnant of me and she also was working a lot. And she just, kind of had to leave music and the high life band. But I think that's why she's also so happy that I continued that path.
That you picked it up.
Yeah.
and bass winds up as your instrument just because it was there and there was a band and that was the slot that was open. Is that story true?
Yeah, it's really cliche, but yeah, that's the story. Like me and my friends wanted to start a band and one was already playing the guitar. The other one was getting drum set. So the bass was set up for me. And then I asked my mom, we want to start a band and I want to play bass. And up until that point, I didn't even know she played bass. So it was like a really funny way of that happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So she pulls it out of the closet. You dust it off, take the rusty strings off, put a new set on.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really strange. But that's the way it happened.
So music had you early on. It sounded like you had a kind of a course set that this was what you wanted to do, huh?
Well, yeah. I think I really always really, really enjoyed playing with the band, with my friends. It was more like a activity just to hang out. And then along the way, I met some new musicians and they all, everybody was really serious about it. And I got on this flow of everybody really wanted to be really good. And some of them wanted to go to the conservatory. And I think I just kind of rode that wave with those friends. And it wasn't like when I first grabbed the bass, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a musician forever. you don't know what you're doing at that age. And it was just a lot of fun and gradually became just, the thing I do.
You were releasing tracks one by one, and I was so excited for when Big Dreaming Ants would be here as a whole. One of the things we wanted to do in this interview is dig deeper into some of the songs and how they came about, and then also how you see them fitting together on this incredible debut album. Let's start with She's Stronger. Song. I was wondering, you know, how it came together for you and what was the message that you were trying to send?
The message, I guess, is for me, I'm singing about this woman that I meet, and she's this inspiring person because she reminds me a lot about myself, but also about things that I would want to be myself. So kind of like, some kind of like better version of yourself that you imagined yourself sometimes to be. But it's not like I really met this woman, just one woman. It, for me, it was kind of like connecting the dots with meeting different women that all had this kind of, they had something that reminded me of what I wanted to be myself, actually. And yeah, it worked, kind of different people.
I read a quote where you said that this friendship or this composite of friendships, right, made you, realize I wasn't as strong or as independent as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what those two words mean to you, strength and independence.
Strength for me is really to be confident in who you are and never being afraid to, you know, stand by what you are and who you are. So, and that for me is really shows a lot of strength. And independence is more that you can really, you know, inspire other people and also help other people out, but you never like kind of how do you say that, dependent. Yeah, you're never dependent on somebody else. And this person what I realized was that I still feel like I'm sometimes dependent on some people, although I think I'm very independent. So that was like a reality check. I'm not that independent as I thought I was.
White silver stripes, blue dot, black star, big dreaming little ants, it's just who we are.
One of the things that strikes me hearing you talk about the lyrics and all these songs, and I think when listening to the record, you know, the sonics are impressive and wide-ranging. It's very song-oriented, and it's also very lyrically, there's a lot of thought that went into the lyrics, obviously. There's an introspection there, but there's also an element of social commentary. The lyrics are not an afterthought with you. It seems like you put a lot of work, as much work into the lyrics as you do into the sonic palette that's going to go underneath them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, for me, I think music is always the starting point because it just sets the mood for me, and it kind of allows my mind to wander like in these places where I guess in normal conversation I just don't get to some kind of conclusions that easily. When the music feels like it's getting somewhere, lyrics is like the next step, and for me, yeah, it takes some time for me to really put down those thoughts because it's pretty vague, you know. It's all a lot of abstract feelings, and then writing these lyrics is maybe for me a little bit harder than the musical part, but it does I take it at least as seriously. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you are a deep thinker, and from what I gather, the song No Room is about you know, trying to get beyond this thing that we often find ourselves, all of us, in, superficial small talk, trying to get deeper with someone. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, you're reading that totally right. Yeah, it's something we all know, this feeling where you're talking to somebody and it's not going anywhere. And I'm not like judging small talk, but yeah. I think it's the feeling that we all know that there's, you feel like you wanted to say something different, or you feel actually different than what you're telling somebody else how you're feeling. So it's, I was just wondering, yeah, how can you write a song about that feeling? And yeah, No Room was kind of this crowded groove I had going on with a lot of different parts, and I felt like, okay, this noise is going on. And it feels like chatter, you know, and really getting to, for me, the bridge also was like really getting to in this space where you can have the silence and the time to really think and have thoughts grow instead of like shutting everything down with small sentences. That was kind of where I was at with that, writing that track.
You have toured Europe, obviously played in your native Netherlands and played in London and Paris, I believe. You know, you've been to the States. What have you learned in taking your music out on the road when we were still able to do such a thing?
It's nice that obviously music has allowed me to travel to outside of just the Netherlands, and it's nice to see that your music, wherever you come from, can, you know, travel to different countries. So that tells me one thing, that people are still luckily interested in people from different countries, and we're not that closed off or close-minded that we really, you know, that patriotic, that we just want to, you know, stick to our own. But I feel like it's interesting that also maybe in France there are a lot of Ghanaian people. They have an angle into my music as well, for them, because I'm Ghanaian, and I'm learning that there's this whole a scene of Ghanaians in Paris, and it's just interesting to learn kind of these things. But yeah, no, for me music is just, yeah, for me it's just what I do, and it's just really nice to go over the borders and see what will bring me when I get there. But
to break down these arbitrary walls.
And it's really nice to just also get out of your own walls and see new people and learn about each other.
You know how to shout, pray, wave your pitchforks. You know how to barricade your classroom doors.
You know, talking about breaking down walls, arbitrary walls, I think your music does that. What I find really fresh about this record, it's really hard to identify what's the source material here. You know, a lot of times you can say, oh, clearly she was influenced by such and such, or he was influenced by that artist, or these couple of artists. And I don't think you're so easily typecast, which is I imagine for any artist is a great thing. But who are your influences, or who did sort of steer you, or was there anybody like that in your life where you kind of had a sound in mind and kind of morphed it and turned it into your own thing?
Yeah, I think, of course, I've got some musical heroes. I'm not sure if you can hear it as an influence. I love Nina Simone also because she's kind of like also not bound to like genres. She's like this incredible musician and vocalist and performer, but also travels between soul and classical music. I really like that.
My baby don't care.
And yeah, I do remember very clearly that the first time I listened to Jeff Buckley, that was for me was also kind of like a mind-blowing experience when I was, I don't know how old I was, but I was pretty young. And also he's got this beautiful voice, obviously, and great musician, but he also, you know, does a lot of different things without anybody, he can do whatever he did, like in this album Grace. It's like going all the places, all over the place. And I really, really love that.
I lost myself on a cool, damp night. I gave myself in that misty light. Was hypnotized by a strange delight under a lilac tree.
Two artists, Nana, with a lot of suffering in their lives.
Yeah, that's true.
I will point out. I'm beginning to worry about you now.
No. That's probably put somewhere in their music. But I'm happy say that I haven't had to endure any suffering like that.
Please don't.
Well, Buckley was also a huge Nina Simone fan, which I'm sure you know.
Yeah, that's true.
All rivers lead back to Nina. I think.
Oh yeah.
It's time for the Nina revival. It's always time for a Nina revival, but she's an amazing artist.
Well, there should be statues.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Yeah.
Try not to see red. Come back from 10 until I land. Take a deep breath. Leave your little lions down. No.
You know, in terms of putting the record out at this time, were you okay with that? You just wanted to get it out? Didn't matter.
Yeah.
What was going on in the world, it was important for you to get it out, right?
Yeah, it was really important. I mean, for me, I wrote and recorded most of the album in 2019, and it was finished at the end of 2019, so I was already like, you know, as an artist, you want to get it out there as soon as possible.
Right.
So, and yeah, I don't know. Yeah, for me, I don't think it would make sense to, you know, delay the music because, yeah, I don't know. You don't know in the future, but also like as a starting artist, I don't know if you have any power in, you know, controlling anything So it doesn't make sense. And I feel like, yeah, music is also something I really like it when things are released right now. I really like to listen to new stuff, and yeah, I would love people also to listen to my stuff. But yeah, I think it's just good to have new creative stuff out there. So yeah.
I think in some ways recorded music has become even more vital, even to those of us who are insane listeners, rabid all the time.
Yeah.
We have nothing else. Well, we have been talking to Nana Ajoa. The new album is Big Dreaming Ants. Thank you, Nana, for taking time for Sound Opinions.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It was fun.
Jim, next week we are going to take a look at one of the most denigrated forms of album, the tribute album. But we're going to find some real good ones for us to play.
For more Sound Opinions, listen to our podcast wherever you find such things. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors.
And speaking of sponsors, every week our show reaches hundreds of thousands of curious listeners from across the country via podcast and on 150 public radio stations nationwide. If you'd like to learn more on how your business or organization can also reach this engaged and educated audience, you can email sponsor@soundopinions.org. That's sponsor@soundopinions.org.
Thank you, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill and Alex Claiborne.